to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There's a lot more to football than what really meets the eye. There are days when you could give it up. There are days when you could fly. You either love or hate it, depending on the score. But when your team run out or they kick a goal, how's a mighty roar.
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Winter is here, and the only thing that's going to get us through is football. And we're going to be talking about the highlights of round nine. And it's an interesting round coming up. We've got the Indigenous Dreamtime round. Mm-hmm. So we're talking all about that and the long walk and the women's game. Danae and I were at the women's game. So you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona Newton, Danae Gibson, a Freo supporter, and Rachel Hopkins, who is a fellow Hawk supporter. We don't have a win between us from round nine, so we're miserable.
Very miserable indeed.
Yeah.
Winless chicks.
winless chicks talking footy.
That's okay.
So highlights of round nine. Interesting round.
It was a very interesting round. I'd like to start with the Hawthorn-Sydney game.
Do you really?
Yes, I will.
I prefer to ignore that it happened.
Obviously very sad, but I'd like to point out three main points of that game, if I may.
You got bullet points?
I do. One, Sam Mitchell's human. I think he was held to 15 possessions by another Mitchell, I believe, so that was very exciting. Second thing is we have a very youthful forward line. O'Brien and Sicily are showing some great skills, but I think we need a bit of age and experience down in our forward line. Third thing is we are not contenders for the grand final. We're winning.
Ooh, that's a big call, round
no,
nine.
No, she makes that call in the off-season before we even started. Total pessimist.
We're winning sheer determination. We're a la Geelong 2014.
Well,
we're tired.
In
we're
fairness,
because of guts.
In fairness, I did have the news about Ruffy. And it was actually interesting. There was at the second quarter, the 2 minute mark, the Hawks supporters all did a big cheer for Ruffy. But then Hawthorn did nothing for 15 minutes. It was like it stunned them or something.
Interesting.
It was like they were trying not to think about it, play the game, but that reminded them, and then they fumbled everywhere for 15 minutes, literally did nothing for 15 minutes.
Be interesting to talk to some players about that, because we had a discussion last week about whether that would galvanise the team, Jared Roughhead's serious health issues, or whether it would knock them. And you say it knocked them. Perhaps the Sydney that you didn't rate from the beginning of the season are a better team right now.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say that.
I think there were holes in our team before the announcement regarding Roughhead.
Holes? I'll show you some holes. I got it for Fremantle.
Speaking of that, I think Roughhead had the operation on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts are with his family.
Yeah, he wants
himself
to fly up to the Gabba. On the weekend for Jordan Lewis's 250th game. So anyway, there's more happening than just what's happening with Hawthorn. So
sorry.
It's hard to believe sometimes.
That's okay.
We are the orbit. But
can I just remind people that Hawthorn have won the last three premierships, so you're allowed to talk about them.
We are.
Okay, that's enough.
That's enough. Pies. Surprise win over Geelong.
Very surprised.
And were you?
I was.
Surprised.
I think everybody's getting a bit excited. It's only round nine. I saw Eddie McGuire interview the next day and it was like he won the grand final.
Yes.
However.
It did the same thing when they beat Brisbane.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they're under a lot of pressure. So, yeah, I mean, it is. Let's see how many cliches we can use tonight, but it is a really long season. And I think those sorts of wins are really important for all clubs. And I think Collingwood. According to what Scott Pendlebury said yesterday, the players just kind of pulled their finger out a bit.
Yeah, interesting what's happening with Travis Cloak too. He's been playing in the VFL for the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think he trained with the seniors this week or is going to or something to that effect.
They're saying he's not back this week. So,
I don't think he'll be back.
I think
for
he's
a
been
while.
The most overrated player for a couple of years.
Okay.
He hasn't played since round four, has he?
He hasn't played for four rounds, so or maybe round five, round four or five. But good to see Geelong lose. Adelaide, of course, smashed the Suns. There was
too easy,
which of course became talk about Ablett being traded back to Geelong We'll see what happens there. West Coast win narrowly.
Yeah, that was a tough game. I listened to that one. I didn't watch, and I listened to most of it. They weren't that far ahead of Port for most of the day, so it was an interesting game.
Now, where are West Coast on the ladder?
Probably fifth or sixth or something.
Yeah, sixth,
I'm not sure.
All right, so
West Coast.
I haven't really been watching them, to be honest. Kangaroos win their 9 in a row.
Yeah.
Broken record.
And yet still they don't lead.
The other 8 games weren't.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Still they don't lead our chatter because we don't have a North follower on the Chicks Talking Footy team, and I think that's the only way that they're going to really generate that interest.
Chick number 7.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. Titus O'Reilly, who's always hilarious, he wrote in the Herald Sun, he said, the rest of the supporters are kind of, who we've all got no faith in North Melbourne, we're kind of like distant parents. Yeah, they're not premiership contenders, and if they do win, we'll just say the competition was low.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and in an even year, North
no
won.
Faith in him. No faith in them whatsoever.
Well, it's interesting because we, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, the general punditry was saying the 8's not going to change, and everything sort of settled in, and now they're saying, well, gosh, who knows? There could be any amount of changes.
Yeah, well, what's interesting this week is Melbourne, because Melbourne thrashed Brisbane. They're now 9th on the ladder.
Mm.
If they beat Port Adelaide this week and Adelaide lose and they're playing the Giants, Melbourne will be in the top 8.
Where's Adelaide playing the Giants?
Over there, I think.
Ooh. I think Giants will beat Adelaide wherever they play them.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance Adelaide will lose, and I think it's a good chance that Melbourne will beat Port Adelaide.
When was the last time Melbourne was in the 8? Katie Purvis, call in, please. 0427 Joy 949. You can send us a message to Chicks Talking Footy. Katie's a massive Melbourne fan.
Katie, let us know.
Yeah.
Or any D supporter out there. On air at joy.org.au, or anyone that's just got an opinion on that. Tigers and Freo.
Yeah.
Now, you watched the game, of course, being a Freo supporter.
Well, I enjoyed it immensely because I watched it with the volume down and also watched a Prince concert at the same time. So it was pretty much...
very purple day for you.
Yeah. So the music was fantastic. So every now and then I'd kind of, can't say that Fremantle is not trying and clearly undermanned and outclassed.
Yeah,
definitely
on a long list of injuries.
It's massive now.
So yeah, it's a shame you've gone from 9-0 last season to 0-9.
Mm.
So very.
However, it is just round 9. I think also with the discussion regarding GWS, they're a very young team.
Yeah, look at the optimism when it comes to other teams.
Yeah, but the Giants have got, a dozen players with like 80 to 100 games experience now, and they're fit and they're strong and they're young men.
They are very fit and they won't run out of legs. I just think that they will fall away in finals because they don't have the experience.
Oh, I'm not sure about that at all.
Saying that, I did make a bet with someone about 4 years ago.
Oh, you did too.
That GWS would win the grand final in 2017.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Gold Coast.
No, it was GWS because Sheedy was coaching.
Oh, gosh. Talk about a red herring. I always thought that the Gold Coast would win the year that the Commonwealth Games were being staged on the Gold Coast, and it would be just Gold Coast-a-rama, but that's 2018. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, not looking likely.
No.
We have had a message
from
one of our fellow broadcasters on the Chicks Talking Footy show, Beck. She said, Crows will smash Giants.
Oh.
Mark that down in the record books now. Well, I hope so anyway. Great show, girls.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks, Beck.
Yeah, no bias there, Beck.
Have we finished round 9 yet?
Giants beat the Bulldogs and show they're a top 4 contender. Of
yeah,
course. Saints win against the Bombers. That's not really worth mentioning.
Okay, time's limited.
Ouch.
Well, sorry, Moddy. One of our other broadcasters, Moddy's been in Europe. I think she's due back soon, so we'll get her back on the show.
I will say that it's great to watch the Saints. I know they got walloped by West Coast last week, but I'm really enjoying their young team development. They've still got a couple of ageing superstars.
I agree.
Cliche number 3. And I like watching them.
I've enjoyed their games this season as well.
Now, we've just had confirmation that we'll be interviewing in an upcoming show.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Searle, who's the first female senior coach on the senior coaching staff of an AFL team.
Yay.
From the Saints. So stay tuned for that.
How exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. All the girls that aren't even on that night will turn up for the show. The other thing that it was announced today was Kevin Bartlett's getting a statue at the...
I just heard that about 10
really?
Minutes ago.
Really?
About that.
I didn't hear that.
Sorry to interrupt there, Fee. I just heard 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, Kevin Bartlett is... I've been busy.
Who are you talking to while you're on radio?
Okay. 40 minutes ago. I think that's great. I think that's great. I think I want to see a comb over statue outside the MCG.
Well, they were talking about his poses. Are you going to,
Yeah.
Well, he won't be handballing, will he?
Some of those statues, I was looking at them. I was at the when we were at the G on Sunday, which we'll talk about because Danae and I were at the women's match
exhibition
between Melbourne and Brisbane on Sunday. But some of the statues are held, like, it's just the tip of the foot that's on the
I know,
statue,
it's amazing,
and then this
isn't it?
Massive metal statue. Mm. I don't know how they do that.
I love it.
But, yeah, incredible the way they've done that. But in a moment, we're going to be talking all about the Dreamtime Indigenous Round on Joy 94.9, Chicks Talking Footy.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae.
Chicks Talking Footy with Danae. And on our interchange bench tonight is Rachel Hopkins, a fellow Hawk supporter. So we've got two Hawkies in a docker.
Yep.
In the... change rooms.
Yes, in the change rooms. Late breaking, not really. Historical news that Melbourne were in the eight in 2006. And I do recall that because Fremantle beat Melbourne in a final. It was the first final that the club had won. And Neil Danaher was a coach
so
there.
In the eight very briefly.
Yeah.
In the finals very
but in
briefly.
In the eight nevertheless.
Now, this upcoming round is very special. It's the Indigenous round. Now, it's been named this year after... Doug Nicholl?
Yes.
I hadn't actually heard of him before.
Sir Doug Nicholl.
Sir Doug Nicholl, because he was knighted. He was the first Indigenous man to be knighted. Governor of South Australia.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And he played 56 games for Fitzroy.
53 yes. something.
But a long time ago, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, very long time ago.
Very, like 1914 or something ridiculous like that. So.
And if he was the first Aboriginal man knighted in Australia, then that would have been some time ago. Because the first one I remember was Neville Bonner, and that was in the 70s or so. Yeah, so way back.
Yeah.
So the Indigenous Round has been going for a few years. The AFL celebrating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander footballers and their culture. And I think that one of the things that has most notably changed is the Guernseys that all the clubs now wear. So what's yours look like?
Ours is great, actually. It's a collaboration of images, I think, that have been created in conjunction with artists by a number of our Indigenous players. Hill, Burgoyne, who else would there be, Fiona?
Who else is on our team?
Two more.
Rioli? Just Rioli. I mean,
Yeah.
It's another one, maybe another couple. But I quite like it. I think all of them this year are quite
Yeah, well, what's interesting is some of the prominent people that have been involved. So for Adelaide, Eddie Betts's auntie designed the Guernsey. Gavin Wanganeen designed the Bombers Guernsey.
The Bombers or the Port?
The Bombers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, yeah, good question. But I think he's stayed true to his Bomber club there. But, of course, he's a Indigenous Brownlow medalist player. Mm-hmm. Then we had three players from the Demons, and the three of the Indigenous players from the Demons. We had and Buddy's mother.
Yeah, great.
Designed
really?
The Sydney Swans Guernsey. So
fantastic.
They tended to engage either players themselves or people related to players or local Indigenous artists
Which
to design all the Guernseys. So I love it, all the colours and the interesting designs that come out during the Indigenous round.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing that happens is the long walk each year. And last year on the Sports Bag, the show that was on before us, but I used to be part of it, used to go for an hour. I took half an hour of their slot when we started this show. We interviewed Michael Long because he obviously started, it's named the long walk after him. But he, in 2004, he walked all the way to Canberra to raise awareness about Indigenous issues in sport. And he actually met with John Howard with a whole bunch of people. And talked about that. And, of course, when he was a player, he stood up against racism in the game.
He did.
So there's a whole event going on, if you're interested, at Fed Square.
Did he win a Brownlow?
Ooh.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Hmm. Let's say yes.
I'm trying to think of which year he did, if he did. But he was
Norm Smith, maybe?
Yeah, that'd be it.
Yeah.
93 grand final.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, that might be.
Look at us not knowing right. Brownlow. Yeah. No, it doesn't sound like
right.
Either
Brownlow.
Betty, sorry. Betty's outside and she keeps ducking in yeah. with some historical facts. She's a Bulldog supporter, you. Does our photography here at
It Joy. Doesn't sound right that he's a Brownlow medalist. It sounds right that he's a Premiership player and Norm Smith medalist.
Yes, right.
He's definitely two-time Premiership player, I think.
Yeah, fantastic.
So there's a big event going on at Fed Square, and then a whole, I think last year was something like 10,000 people walked to the G from Fed Square. And, of course, the event at the G. Has anyone, either of you, ever been?
Well, I have, and I've done the Dreamwalker version, which is actually, there's usually a concert activity during the day at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl, and then you walk from there to Fed Square, and then Fed Square to the game. And then we walked under the G, went through the tunnel and came wow. out behind Michael Long and politicians and other people, and then sat on the middle of the G while they had the smoking ceremony and a performance before the game.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
That was one of the things that I really wanted to do, being able to live in Melbourne, having come from the West. Mm. I really think it's a fantastic thing that the Indigenous Round acknowledges Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, and at the Dreamtime at the G was a pretty bold initiative from Richmond and Essendon
yep.
That met some resistance, and it has really taken a while to entrench, but they've just signed a deal to say they'll keep doing it for the next 10 years. So it's really good.
That's fantastic. And amongst all this positivity, I would just like to point out...
Our resident pessimist.
Sorry to all. But I think it is important to point out some flaws so we can acknowledge them and change. There was recently a special commission that was set up by the AFL to look into the lack of representation of Indigenous people outside of the field. Mm-hmm. So, for example, boards, coaches, etc. My understanding is out of 178 coaches, only two are Indigenous within the seniors AFL. And the commission has come up with a number of points that they want to achieve over 5 years, some of them being a dedicated search for an appointment of the first AFL Indigenous commissioner, a pathway from playing to umpiring also for Indigenous players, also looking at how affirmative action and getting more Indigenous players on boards and advisory groups within the AFL. So hopefully that report will spur and try to invigorate this issue and try and rectify the lack of Indigenous representation.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's obviously a start, and it obviously doesn't work in a vacuum, and will go contemporaneously with other initiatives such as Dreamtime at the G, so it's really exciting.
Yeah. Got to have some visibility before you can have any change, I think.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
We've had another message.
Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
We've got some stats on Michael Long that have come in. Dual Essendon Premiership player, 1933 and 2000. Norm Smith medal, 1993. All Australian team, 1988, 1995. St Mary's Premiership player, 1987 and 88. West Torrens Best and Fairest, 1988. VFL Rookie of the Year, 1989.
Wow.
Equal fourth in the Brownlow Medal, 1995.
There we go.
And Australian Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, indeed.
So he is a legend of the game.
So he comes from the St Mary's Football Club, which might have just one of the best historical rosters of all time if you have a look at some of the players that have come from there in Darwin. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. But looking forward to seeing the pre-game stuff that happens at the G and Indigenous Round as well.
Join in. Be part of the long walk.
Be part of the long walk, exactly. Now, Danae, we were at the G on Sunday.
Yes, tell me all about it. Yeah. I wasn't lucky enough to attend.
Well, we were right on the boundary.
Oh, fantastic.
Just to the right of Melbourne's goals.
Yeah, we're in the forward pocket.
We're basically in the forward pocket. Last week we interviewed Cecilia Marshall.
McIntosh.
And so we were cheering her on right through the game. She played an excellent game.
Yep.
Hopefully, if you're listening, Cecilia, we were very proud of you.
And because Cecilia had only recently come back from an ACL, we were very happy to see she wasn't injured playing off the halfback flank. She was terrific.
Yeah. So, and really great. I mean, Melbourne just played an exceptional game, didn't they? I mean, Brisbane put up a fight, but Melbourne were just too strong.
I had a lot of fun saying that player's that. This is the name of that player to our little crowd. It was good fun because it's great to see players and get used to what we're going to see in a national comp. Jess Cameron, the former Australian cricketer, who kicked 6 goals for Melbourne.
She was such a great mark. I mean, she was
great overhead and also really accurate goal kicking. So the skills on display were pretty bloody good. And considering how windy it was at the G. it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was
so talented.
It was 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and there was a good couple thousand people, I reckon. It always feels empty when there's only 2,000 people in the G, but my friends actually stayed on afterwards and were high-fiving the Melbourne players as they got on the news, the whole thing.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. I'm so sad I missed it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Contingent.
And one of the best things was seeing all the young girls and young women who were supporting their mates and looking up to role models. It's fantastic.
We were sitting next to Daisy Pierce's family, a little 3-year-old niece.
She's actually
on our Chicks Talking Footy Facebook page. That's Daisy Pierce's little niece, the back of her
star of the future.
Star of the future.
Well done to Melbourne and Brisbane. So it was a Queensland side playing for the Brisbane Lions, but well done, girls.
Taylor Harris was playing for them, being recruited from Melbourne as well. So I think the score ended up being 91-20.
14-7-3-2.
Yes, but
smashed.
Really impressed with the
it was a better game than that.
Yeah.
The scoreline, that doesn't
reflect.
Justice. No,
yeah,
it was good fun.
High quality.
And back to that visibility, it's good to see.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. All right, in a moment, we're going to be previewing round 10 here on Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
We're going to be previewing round 10, and what's coming up, Rachel?
Friday night, it is the Swans versus the Kangaroos at the SCG.
Big game.
Oh, that's going to be a huge game.
Go North.
Swans will destroy him.
Probably, but I'm still working for North Melbourne.
Particularly if Buddy is in form like he was last week, as a number of other players.
He's in great form this year.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Is. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah. I still think that, anyway.
Judas.
Moving on.
We're bitter. We're not logical, we're bitter.
Okay.
Next Saturday, it is Hawthorn versus the Lions. I would like to think we would win. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't.
No, don't be silly.
I'll be disappointed if we don't win by a lot.
It is at the Gabba.
I won't win by a lot.
Well, we do need We need the points.
Just need to win. Yep.
No, our percentage is rubbish. We need to actually get it up.
Next game's Melbourne-Port Adelaide.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's an interesting game.
I mentioned this earlier, but if Melbourne beat Port Adelaide, they could be in the top eight.
And it's so at the
game? It is a game to watch.
Oh, no, it's in Darwin.
It is in Darwin.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Darwin or Alice Springs?
It might be Alice Springs. Yeah. I think we play them in Darwin.
I think it's Alice Springs.
Melbourne will probably win that.
Mm.
You'd like to think.
My considered opinion.
Danae, this one's for you. Frio versus St Kilda.
I'll be going to that game.
Etihad Stadium.
One of four games I get as a Fremantle supporter this year in Melbourne.
Oh.
Or your replacement game?
No, oh. I just get a game, because I barrack for Fremantle, we only play four times here.
Interstate member.
Only four times?
Yeah,
because
we play Melbourne in Northern Territory later.
Oh, I see.
So that'll be interesting to watch, sort of.
It's always good to go to a game.
It's always great.
Yeah.
I love it. Next.
Essendon Richmond at the MCG.
Dreamtime at the G, Saturday night. That'll be an interesting game.
Oh, Richmond will destroy Essendon. That's my thought on that.
Okay. Yep. I'm not sure about that.
I'd like to see, well, the problem with Essendon is not all of the players had a proper pre-season, so they're probably running out of puff a little bit too now. But I would like to see Essendon get up and win another game or two. Mm-hmm.
It would be good also just to watch an exciting game.
Yes. Well, that's right.
Yeah, sometimes the Dreamtime games are a bit flat.
Yeah. Mm. Next one is GWS versus Adelaide, the Adelaide Oval.
Yep. Well, Beck thinks Adelaide will win. But I think it'll be close.
I also agree, Beck. I think Adelaide will win by four goals.
Adelaide play particularly well at Adelaide Oval,
but I think
the Giants are on a mission and, doesn't matter.
Geelong beat them at Adelaide Oval not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done.
It can be done. You're right. I'm not discounting how amazing GWS are. They really are a fantastic team. I just think eventually they're going to
run out of legs.
Exactly.
Okay.
Next game on Sunday is Carlton versus Geelong. Ooh. Now, I would like to hope that Carlton might get up.
Oh, okay.
But I'd enjoy watching
it. You're just hoping because you don't like Geelong.
I do not. And I'm also a bit over Dangerfield's little cheer squad. Look, he is a fantastic player enough.
I'm a signed up member of that cheer squad, so we'll talk again next time.
Actually signed up?
No.
It seems to be Dangerfield versus the other 17 clubs at the moment.
Yeah.
I think he just lifts that team and I think they'll play well.
Oh, they do.
Is there one more game?
Collingwood Bulldogs at the MCG.
Collingwood Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, I thought they did play a great game against Geelong, no doubt. I think the Bulldogs will be too strong for them, even though it is at the MCG.
Are Bulldogs traditionally not so good at the G? Or?
Well, no.
I don't think they've had many games in the last few years.
But not so,
no,
not
exactly.
So good at the G.
Yeah.
So, which game are we talking about?
This is the Collingwood Bulldogs.
And Bulldogs. And Bulldogs played last Friday night, didn't they? They played the Friday night.
No, that was Sydney Hawthorn. That Bulldogs played last Sunday.
Okay.
So they lost last week to Giants.
Yes.
Yeah. This will be interesting.
Well, they'll be looking for a win after that loss.
I'm still wondering how stretched their back line is going to be. Some of their very, very good players have been injured. And, you know, it makes a difference.
It does.
All right. It looks like we're going to have an exciting round of football next week. We're going to be watching? Well, one more game.
There's one more game. Sorry to interrupt. West Coast, Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, see, no one cares.
That's why I interrupted.
Don't worry about it.
What I like to call the derby of the nightclubs.
Yeah.
Ablett versus West Coast.
Well, hopefully you're watching with friends, with a meat pie in your hand, and enjoying the football during Indigenous Round this week. We'll be back next week with me, Danae, and someone from our interchange bench on Chicks Talking Footy. Now, I'll leave you with a song now that one of my friends wrote, Dan Sullivan. It's a very articulate song about football. Enjoy the rest of your week. Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.